I think we've got everybody. So I will make a start. So good evening, everybody, and welcome to the scrutiny meeting tonight, a bit earlier than originally planned. So we'll crack on. So firstly, could I remind all councillors just to keep their microphones muted whilst people are speaking, just as a point of, just so you can hear everybody. If any councillors lose their internet connection, I will take a brief pause just to allow them to re-enter the meeting before we continue. If any councillors wish to speak on any of the on any of the items tonight, can they use the raise hand function or try to indicate that they wish to speak, and then I'll let them in at the appropriate time? And can we not use the chat function for this meeting, instead using the raise hand function? And then, so on the agenda tonight for item four, there will be a vote that takes place. This will be a named vote conducted by Democratic Services. We will read out each councillor in alphabetical order, at which point the councillor should indicate how they wish to vote. Just because we do have a lot of attendees tonight from outside of the committee, I'll just briefly run through who can vote on the motion tonight. So all of the members of the committee can vote. So that's myself, Councillor Adam Clark, and then we've got Councillors Patricia Aykroyd, Laura Beach, Becky Brady, Vicky Gould, Phil Hudson, Saeed Hussein, Julia Kilmoran, Alison Legg, Graham Lamb, Mike Metcalf, Mandy Shrive, Paul Water and Colin Whittaker. Any other councillors? Colin Wildman, sorry. Okay, I'll get it in the end. Any other councillors can speak on item four, but they can't vote accordingly. Go through my notes. So yeah, so at that point then, we'll crack on with the agenda. So item one, apologies. Andrea?
Thank you, Chairman. We've had apologies from Councillor Lamb, Councillor Hudson and County Councillor Peters. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So item two, declarations of interest, if there are any. No, I don't know if there are none. So item three, to consider any urgent business brought forward under meeting rule 12. I don't believe there has been any urgent business, Andrea?
No.
Okay then, so we'll move on then to item four. So item four on the agenda is the calling of the executive decision record 199/20. So you'll all have received and read the reports and associated papers for this item. So this includes the report, the original EDR, the associated dependencies for that EDR, a copy of the reasons for the calling, and then the response by the decision takers for that. Can I remind all councillors that this is a public meeting and that all discussions should be specific to the relevant calling matter under debate tonight, so EDR 199/20. If any councillors wish to raise any broader points related to wider council policies or the decision-making process around it, they can be brought forward at a normal committee meeting through the appropriate channels rather than this meeting tonight, which is specifically on the EDR. So I'm briefly going to run through the order of process and then we'll carry on with that. So firstly, James Abbott will introduce the report for consideration and the report's recommendations. I will then invite Councillor Grosvenor to summarise the reasons for calling in the decision, at which point any of the councillors on the call-in can also wish to speak on the matter if they so choose. Just for the amount of people we've got on the call tonight as well, could I ask that any councillors in the call-in who do wish to speak on it do so in an additive manner, rather than just simply rehashing any points that have previously been made. Then I will give opportunity for the decision takers to speak on the issue and to address any of the points raised during the call-in discussion, at which point we will move to a debate and any questions by members of the committee, following which we'll have a vote, which will be the named vote to consider the options as laid out in the report. And then following that, following the named vote, Democratic Services will announce the result. Just for clarity as well, in the event of a tied vote, myself as chair has the casting vote. Councillor Grosvenor.
Thank you. Just to clarify, when you said that we would be discussing the call-in and the reasons for the call-in, does that suggest that you're going to go through each specific call-in reason and deal with that reason and deal with the answer to that reason, to that call-in reason, and then move on to the next one? Is that the way it's going to work tonight? Just a clarification.
No, so what we'll do is I'll open up to you to introduce the call-in and the reasons for the call-in. We'll then open that to the decision takers to respond to anything there and anything else they want to add. I do believe as well in the appendices, so appendix 3, which is the response from the decision taker, they have gone line by line to the original one as well, which all members should have received a copy of and is public on the website for tonight's meeting. Do you want to add to that, Councillor Grosvenor?
Yeah, I do. So I understand what you said there, but there are a number of reasons for the call. I'm not wishing to be difficult. I'm not wishing to be antagonistic. But there's a number of reasons for the call-in, and they're all listed on the document I've submitted to Angela that's been dealt with, and that's the reason for the meeting tonight. So if there's going to be a debate, they need to be on the specific reasons on the call-in. That's what I'm suggesting, not the overall thing. Because each reason is different. You know, there's some of them are linked, one of them is linked, but each reason is different, and each one needs to be answered. I note from the appendix that there's been some answer provided to each call-in reason. But if the debate's going to go around the call-in, then the debate needs to be on the specific reasons for the call-in and the answers that have been given. I would suggest that in a normal council meeting, councillors have the opportunity to come back on the answers that have been given. So that's what should happen tonight. If we're going to debate the call-in, each reason should be looked at, the answers should be looked at, and then that's when councillors should come back on the answers that have been provided.
I'm confident that we will be able to effectively scrutinise all of the reasons for the call-in and that all of them will be addressed during the course of the proceedings. If there are any specific concerns as well, you're more than willing to raise them throughout the meeting. So I'm personally confident that the effective scrutiny will happen. So on that point then, I'd like to invite James Abbott to present the report, please.
Okay, yep, thank you, Chair. So I just wanted to quickly summarise the report that's been circulated for this evening's meeting. But I draw your attention firstly to section 4 of the main report, which details the key points. So the purpose of this extraordinary meeting of the committee this evening is for members to consider the key decision that was taken by the Deputy Leader for Regeneration and Planning Policy, specifically that the Council contributes section 106 community sums for affordable housing to development at former Burton Mail offices on the High Street, Burton, in order to support the delivery of affordable housing. As the Chair has mentioned, the full detail of that decision is detailed in the Executive Decision Record with reference number 19920, which is attached to Appendix 1. And as this was a key decision, notice of the decision was given to all members on the 26th of June, and subsequently notification was received by the proper officer on the 1st of July that the 12 members listed in paragraph 4.5 of the report wished to call in that decision. Copies of the correspondence from those members requesting to call in the decision are attached to Appendix 2, and a written response from the decision taker is attached at Appendix 3, both there for the members of the committee to consider. Secondly, I draw attention to the recommendation section, that's section 11 of the main report, which you can see on page 6. The committee is asked to consider the decision detailed in EDR 19920, and the constitution details three options that the committee has open to it. And paragraphs 11.1.1, 2 and 3 detail the wording provided in the constitution of those three options. So just to reiterate, it's stated that the committee can do nothing and allow the decision to stand. It can refer the decision back to the decision taker with a request to reconsider, including the reasons in writing for so doing, or it can refer the matter directly to the full council for debate, but also states that this will only usually be in exceptional circumstances, such as when the decision is contrary to the policy framework or the council's budget. So those are the three options as provided for in the constitution and as worded there. So we ask members to consider these in reaching their conclusion this evening. And with that, I'll hand back to you, Chair.
Thank you very much, James. So that is the report for consideration tonight and the relevant options that we have within the recommendations. I'd now invite Councillor Grosvenor, if you'd like to lay out the reasons for the call-in.
Yeah, okay. So, bear in mind the comments you made at the start of this meeting, which is not to rehash anything that's been said or any reports that have been produced. The reasons for the call-in are noted on the appendix. Members had a large number of concerns with this particular decision. A lot of things in the decision, in the EDR, weren't clear. There were appendices noted in the EDR which weren't included in the EDR itself. And the EDR didn't cover some of the concerns that members had. You'll note one of the large concerns that members got with this particular decision that's been taken is the funding gap that the council is being asked to effectively cover. The funding gap in the report suggests that there's a funding gap of £242,000 with this particular project, and the council is therefore covering £240,000 of it. That's 98.7% of the funding gap. The developer himself, who was not known to us, and I know the response given in the answers, that's one of the other issues. The developer himself will be making a profit on this deal, considering that he's still going to make a profit on the production of the accommodation, and he will make a profit on the commercial aspect underneath. So the members that have called this in feel it's unfair that the council, therefore, to contribute to develop a profit. The report which I requested, which shows the valuation given, suggests that the developer is going to make 4.5% yield anyway on this particular deal, but the developer's valuer, which has not been the valuer assigned by the council, the developer's valuer suggests that the developer needs to make 6.5% yield. And the £240,000 that the council is contributing is therefore giving the developer an extra 2% yield on this deal, therefore funding developer profit. Given that the developer is going to make a profit on this deal anyway, it's slightly unfair, we think, that the developer contributes to his profit from the council's or council taxpayers' money. This is taxpayers' money. Overall, members need to realise that. This is taxpayers' money that we, as councillors, need to secure the best value for. Is it best value to give the developer an extra 2% yield on a deal that they're already going to make 4.5% yield on? I note the responses given, and I'd like to thank Sal for the responses given. The second paragraph of the response to this particular call-in reason is largely irrelevant, I suggest, because the second paragraph just deals with a general comment about 106 money, about how 106 money is commuted, about how many affordable houses the council needs to provide in its local plan, etc. It's not specific to this particular call-in reason, and this specific call-in reason deals with this specific deal, which is effectively the developer making profit on the back of council taxpayers' money, which is not right in the current circumstances. Don't get me wrong, from my perspective, if this whole building was going to be affordable housing, then I don't think I'd have too much of a problem. The developer is making profit on the affordable housing and also the commercial aspects of the development underneath. So that's the first and main reason for the members having an issue with the call-in time. And note the first paragraph in the response, Al, thanks for that, just deals around the calculation that does of the 240,000 providing 12 units, which is £20,000 per unit, etc., etc. Doesn't deal with a specific query, which is that this particular deal and this particular money is giving the developer profit on the additional profit. It's not that he's making a loss, he's giving the developer additional profit on the back of this development, which is not, we think, a reasonable and fair way to deal with cash taxpayers' money. Second reason for the calling deals with the fact that we've got no deadline for the 106 money, so is the council, and there has been issues in the past where the council has rushed to make a decision with giving developers 106 monies to try and make deals happen because the 106 is about to run out. That wasn't clear in the EDR. So maybe some of the issues tonight could have been dealt with a better EDR. And perhaps if the deputy leader would have questioned that in the EDR, you know, prior to signing it, the EDR could have been clearer. And it wasn't clear on that. So I'd like to thank the council's response with regards to the 106 deadline. I know some of the councillors asked that question after the EDR was sent out to us, and I know that answer was given to councillors too. It wasn't given to all councillors when the EDR was signed. Third aspect of the call-in deals with the valuation predominantly, and the fact that the council is relying solely on the developer's valuation. And I think that is really an appropriate point to make, because the developer's valuation tells the developer, you're going to make 4.5%, we think you need to make 6.5%, or whatever, around about 6.5%. That is their own valuation. I understand the council has no need to get a valuation on this particular deal, but considering it's a large amount of money, considering it's funding the whole funding gap, between what the developer get for affordable housing and what the developer get for private housing. I would suggest it's probably better, and that this meeting's in public, it's probably, and that the deal itself is a large public building which was previously owned by the Burton Mail, it's probably better and safer for the council to secure its own valuation on that before handing over almost £250,000, which is the total funding gap. And it's very surprising and very disappointing that the council hasn't sought its own valuation on this particular deal. And I note the response given that the council doesn't need to give one. And the council would normally use Sellaways, and it's an RICS accredited value, but I accept all that. I just think for the council to cover its own back, and I don't see why the council couldn't get its own valuation. And the developer, really, if the developer's keen to do this, and the developer's keen to move forward on this particular deal, the developer himself should accept that, and should accept that we're dealing with council taxpayers' money. And I'm going to keep referring that tonight. It's not your money, it's not, it is really, it's our money, it's council taxpayers' money. So we need to secure best value for that. It's one of the essentials of being a councillor. Councillors often forget that. We need to secure best value for that. How do we know it's best value? How do we know that the developer needs to make an additional 2% yield? That's just what his valuer is telling him. So I know the response given, and I thank for that. In terms of the wider consultation, again, the response just deals with the cabinet decision that was taken a few years ago, and the fact that the cabinet's made a decision to try and unlock brownfield sites which have come undeliverable. How do we know this particular site is undeliverable? That's a valid question. That policy, and I don't know why that policy was brought in, that policy was designed to unlock sites that could not be delivered and to bring about affordable housing. How do we know that site is undeliverable without this aspect of affordable housing? There is a commercial aspect to the site as well, which is the ground floor, which presumably makes the site deliverable in itself. And then you've got the affordable housing on top, which the developer is going to make profit from. So I do think there needs to be a wider consultation on that particular deal itself, on that particular aspect of the deal, and the fact that it's a widely recognised and renowned building in Burn-upon-Trent, which is going to cause a degree of discussion amongst the residents that we represent. And if those residents then accept or realise that the council's contributed £250,000 to it, without carrying out any further question, discussion or consultation, there's going to be some issues from our residents. And we need to accept that and to cover it off. In terms of the valuation, on my next calling point, yeah, it's tied into the previous point I made, effectively. Do think that the council would be wise in securing a valuation. And one of the aspects from this meeting tonight, and I accept where the numbers are in the room tonight, and I accept that this, without predetermining any vote, of course, Mr. Chairman, or any debate, I accept there's probably a likelihood that this vote tonight is going to be to accept this particular EDR. But I don't see the issue with attaching to that a request that the council secures a valuation just to back up what the developer's own valuation is suggesting. And I suggest that's probably a reasonable and fair compromise to the calling that we've made tonight, is to secure its own valuation. Forgetting the fact as well, there needs to be questions asked around the £240,000 and whether that's actually proportionate to the overall deal and the developer securing additional profit. So that's with regards to the valuation. We didn't know the developer was at all. It wasn't in the EDR. And again, I'd suggest that's a learning for us, that if we're going to sign these EDRs, if we're going to say to members, this is the EDR, we're doing this to secure development, that needs to be answered, needs to be dealt with up front. It's disappointing, very disappointing, that response has only come about because we've made a call. And if the calling hadn't been made, and I know some members probably think this calling is a waste of time, it's a valued part of the council decision-making process, this calling is, and it should be applied to any EDR. And one of the aspects of that is members weren't aware of who the developer was. And we should have been made aware up front, at the start, this is the developer. The council has had previous development deals with previous developers that have not happened or fallen through for whatever reason. And it would have been beneficial for the council to advise members of who that developer was at the start, so that members were aware that it's either a new one, a completely different one, or it's somebody we've had previous dealings with. And we're telling members that. It seems to be suggesting that there's something being hidden. And I know the council is trying to be transparent. So in terms of trying to be transparent, that would have been better for the council to have advised that at the start. The sort of last, coming towards the end of the calling there, there is no evidence that the council has looked at this particular site from different aspects about what can be delivered or what couldn't be delivered. For example, I don't know how much the developer paid for it. I really don't know how much the developer paid for this particular site. And if the council is contributing £240,000 to it, how much of that is a percentage of the developer's initial cost in purchasing this building in the first place? Because presumably, if it's close to it, or could the council have made a capital investment to buy this particular building to deliver itself, rather than introducing a third-party developer? Could that have been a way forward? There's no evidence that the council has thought about that. There's no evidence that the council has looked at that and thought, is this something we can do? Can we talk to the developers? Okay, you bought this, but you know, could we speak to you about delivering all affordable housing for the site? Could we speak to you about delivering some social healthcare? There was a suggestion, I know for a fact, that we were going to deliver social healthcare on the Bargate site. That suggestion's gone away now. There's still a need for that. The council received a presentation a number of years ago which showed us that there's going to be a huge need for social housing for an elderly population moving forward. And one of the ways the council looked at using its 106 money was to deliver that affordable or social healthcare for elderly people. So is there a way that the council could have looked at this building and spoke to the developer and said, okay, look, you're going to deliver affordable housing as a commercial aspect, but have we considered looking at the building itself and opening it up to, you know, elderly care arrangements? I think the building would probably lend itself to that. There was a reception area downstairs that could have been converted for that. And then we could have converted the back of the downstairs and upstairs into elderly care arrangements. I'd like to see some evidence that the council has looked at that and considered whether that's a possibility, considering the council is moving away rapidly from providing healthcare on Bargates, and it's still going to be a need for people moving forward. So effectively, I'm coming to the end of the reasons for the calling there without trying to rehash it. I'm trying to put some more meat on the bones of why the calling was made. Effectively, the council, I don't think, has been open in some of the aspects of the EDR with us. I think there is some issues around the proportionality of the funding gap that the council is providing to the developer. The fact that it's providing 98% can't be right. The developer needs to be accepting some of the funding gap himself. The fact that he said he needs to make 6.5% yield on the deal is purely based on his own valuation. And I think the council needs to support that before saying, okay, we're going to give you £240,000, there's additional profit for you, which effectively is what's being said. And the council needs to protect itself from that, needs to secure best value for money. And as councillors, we all need to ensure that the council does that. So, sorry for ranting on, you need to understand some of the reasons for the calling. And speaking to members who agreed to call this in alongside me, we all, I think, had those concerns. Now, the members themselves will contribute to the debate and explain their reasons for that calling themselves. But that's my reason. That's what I've spoken to members of. They shared my concerns, and they're the reasons for calling. And you know, the fact that 12 of us did that, it's a lot. It's 30% of the council have got issues with this. The decision just can't be signed off when there is this many questions related to the decision and this many concerns. Admittedly, some of them are related to the EDR itself. We didn't get the appendix. We didn't know who the developer was. Didn't know when the 106 was due. They could have been dealt with in the EDR, so I think that's a learning for us. But some of them are more fundamental to the actual decision itself. And I refer again, and note the response, Sal or Tom, thanks for the response to the EDR. A lot of them aren't really relevant because a lot of them deal with the generalities of the policy itself, and the production of 106 for affordable homes doesn't deal to the specific questions of why this calling was made.
Thank you for that, Councillor Grosvenor. Do any of the other members who took part in the calling wish to add anything to that before we move on to decision takers? Councillor Whittaker. I believe you're still muted, Councillor Whittaker.
Is that better?
That's better.
Obviously, I agree with the views expressed by Councillor Grosvenor. And it's very unusual. I've been actually approached by a resident, former resident of Greenville Development over this, who was absolutely distraught. He'd been in touch with the MP. And because, I mean, the purpose of the 106 is to offer some sort of improvement or to some sort of something as an offering to improve either the neighbourhood or the borough which we live in. And it's their view that that should be actually spent for the benefit of those people as well, not given away to line the pockets of the developers in this way. And he felt very strongly, and actually to have a member of the public picking up on this, which is hidden on a lot of layers of sort of scrutiny and everything else within the council, I think is I've never seen it before in my time as a councillor. I mean, I think the whole issue is clouded by the fact it's a double development. We don't know what the cost of the commercial aspect of this is. We don't know that. We don't know what return he's going to get on that commercial aspect. It may be 12, 15, 20%, which would cover any loss which is taken with his affordable homes. If it was a clear cut, since Councillor Irwin said, if it was just affordable homes, it would be quite easy because we could look at it and we could express that as a one thing, but we don't know what's going to happen here. It's so clouded, the whole policy is. And to give 240,000 towards the development of this, to line some of this topic, I think is an absolute travesty and a waste of this, same as you said before, the taxpayers' money. If we've developed it, if we've got this money, I mean, you're saying we've got sort of so many millions coming forward, all that money should be used as the council to offer some of this with a return for ourselves. There's going to be a shortfall. We're going to have a shortfall in this council. So we need to protect this council by at least having some income which we can offset against that to deliver a service, to use that money wisely and for future development of this council and everybody who lives in the borough. So that's my views. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Whittaker. Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Chair. Could I start by saying that the whole idea of scrutiny and calling is now proven to be something quite useful. We don't often get this chance, and I think it was for that reason those policies were developed. And the fact that we have now had answers to some of those questions that were posed that I read today says that maybe we should be having that up front before when a key decision is being taken. So I welcome that, and I'm grateful that the scrutiny committee will now look at this and take one of those recommendations. I have to say though that I don't exactly agree with everything that's been said so far. In my view, I don't class this as public money. I class this as developer contributions for a specific reason. And we know what that is, and it's about helping to deliver affordable housing. Yes, we've been able to look at a new way of doing it, where we will look at brownfield sites and help developers deliver different sites. So I'm not against the principle. I'm not against the site. I looked at all of the reports, so yes, that particular site, yes, what the developer is looking to bring, yes, I agree, a very good idea. People have mentioned about valuations, but I don't think a valuation of the site is actually appropriate. It's a rental analysis that's been taken, not a valuation. Now, I don't have any issues with a rental analysis, but what I do have issues with, and the reason why I agreed to the call-in, was that I believe that the developer has grossly overstated his development costs. Now, I work in some of the building trade. I know what contractors cost, materials. I think he's grossly overstated them. And if they were brought into a more realistic level, I think his yield for affordable housing would probably be a lot higher than 4.5%. So I think the yield is already there. And for that reason, I would sort of suggest to the committee, and I know it's down to you, that the deputy leader should be asked to reconsider this in discussions with a developer, and at the very least, because I'm not against the idea, try and draw something out of this that brings down that £2,000 per unit contribution that we are giving per unit over the 10 years. bring that down by asking the developer, instead of a minimum 10-year guarantee period for the assisted housing, why not 15 years? That will bring that cost down, and I would be happy to see something like that. But I do welcome the fact that scrutiny is now doing what it should be doing, and I wish you well with your deliberations. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Fitzpatrick. Conscious of time, are there any other members of the calling that wish to quickly add anything additional? No, at which point then I will hand over to the decision takers of the EDR to add in. So, Councillor Allen.
Thank you, Chair. I was aghast when I saw the call in, and I'm still aghast now, especially after just learning that even there's a varying degree of understanding amongst the signatories as the reason why they called it in. I think after listening to that addition to what we've already seen in text, I think there's sort of a, maybe I'm wrong, let's assume I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that a call in deals with whether or not the decision has been made within the strategy called the plan framework and the policies that we've got, not whether or not members disagree with that policy. And so I'm just going to go back to the text reasons to try and answer some of those points again. One of the big things that stood out for me during Councillor Grosvenor's contribution again is that he seemingly easily dismisses the whole brownfield developments and 106 monies and where that comes from as almost irrelevant to all of this. And because of that, I think that's probably why he seems to have been slightly confused in why this decision has been made in the way it's been made. And so I do think, Chair, and conscious of time, and we, you know, I think we all want to get through this as quickly as possible, but I think it's worth running through what 106 monies are, where they come from, and what they are supposed to be used for, because it appears to me that quite a number of members of the council, long far more experienced than I am, surely, if understood what 106 monies are and where they come from, would understand why this decision has been made. And so I'll just run through a few points. So Town and Country Planning Act 1990, Section 106, hence the name, sets out a legal process by which you can take developers' money. The developer offers money. It's an obligation on the developer to give money in exchange for delivering something on site. So, you know, so let's take an example. We've taken a large scale site, and you want to have an open space provision. You take money from them so that it can be delivered either on site or elsewhere. Okay, if you've got a site that you need transport intervention to make the site come forward, some accesses aren't viable, they won't allow the site to be permitted, there's an agreement with the local planning authority to take the amount of money that it would cost to get that transport intervention built and put into place, so then the site can be permitted. Brownfield 106s are always quite a big one, and I totally understand that some of the more liberal, let's say, or social areas of political ideology believe that the affordable housing needs to be delivered on site, always, and the money shouldn't be simply commuted into a pot of money. I understand that, but that isn't that. Nevertheless, this decision is still within the framework and inside the strategy. But in that case, what happens is the developer comes forward, if it's a affordable housing on previously developed land close to the town centres, they have to put 25% of the housing has to be affordable. Moving further away, it goes to 33%, and then inside on sites that's not otherwise defined, so these greenfield sites, 40% of the housing has to be affordable. Now, there are lower limits that have to be, really have to be delivered on site, but there is a number of houses that can be delivered off site, and the way that they achieve that is by commuting the 106 sums to local planning authority, and the DSBC become custodians of that money. So effectively this money comes from developers' pockets, and I understand some of the words that Councillor Grosvenor and Councillor Whittaker were using. It seems to be misunderstood that this is taxpayers' money. We are custodians of the money, and we need to make sure that it's been used right. But the idea that we're lining developers' pockets is just unbelievable, given that it's coming from developers who did not want to, who chose not to deliver affordable housing on their site. And then there's a whole separate set of strategy or policy that sets out how much money we take off per site. It's just been reviewed in 2019. It was set in 2016 by a previous cabinet member who's also one of the signatories on the call-in, and that's 40,000 per unit. To date, since the plan adoption, we've accumulated £4.6 million. And so, take too much of a calculator out, we can work out that we would have, this means that 115 affordable homes that should have been provided by East Staffs have not been built on site, but they have commuted sums to that effect. So I think the idea that we've given too much money, or the council's allowing £20,000 per unit is too much, and that this isn't value for money, I'm not sure I understand. I don't see how that's not value for money. We're getting twice as much bang for the buck, if you want to take that phrase, because our own SP17, our own strategy sets out that it should be £40,000 per dwelling. So by delivering an intervention of this kind, brings forward a brownfield site in the town centre, close to local services where social housing and affordable housing needs to be. It's better that it's there rather than out somewhere that it's difficult to get into closer to services. We're delivering it for £20,000 per dwelling rather than £40,000. So then there's another £240,000 still with us that we can use to deliver and bring forward another site to deliver affordable housing. So that fundamentally has a lot to do with it. A little bit puzzled as to why a good number of the signatories are previous cabinet members, and they set these policies themselves. And so to say that it's unclear to them why the money's being spent in the way it has is bizarre. I think there was one reference to why can't ESBC be more involved in this and actually deliver the housing themselves, or say to the developer, okay, you've bought it, it's not developed, you either don't want to, or you say it's unviable, we'll buy it from you and deliver it itself. The answer is in the brownfield strategy itself, which the previous cabinet members will know, and they accepted on the minutes from the cabinet meeting that was held in 2017. One of the bullet points says the shorter-term development needs were more around infill development, which were of too small a scale for the council to lead on development. As such, the council may be better placed to work with partners in supporting their delivery of brownfield and infill regeneration. The strategy itself and cabinet members at the time understood that they weren't, that it wasn't the wish of ESBC to get involved in actually delivering these sites and bringing them get involved in the operation, in the development of the site. It was simply to make sure that that money that we had gathered from sites that had failed to bring forward affordable housing on site, to ensure that that money is then spent effectively on sites in close to town centres, inside town centre, on brownfield sites that aren't viable. And that's what this debate should be about, is whether or not this is inside the strategy or not whether or not you like the idea of it. We can have a discussion about whether or not the strategy should change, and I'm happy to take listen to members' opinions about whether or not the strategy needs to change. I don't think it's for this meeting, because this is about whether or not the EDR is inside the strategy, inside the policy framework. But as to whether it's outside, I'm not sure it is. So we've covered the 240,000. The valuation, yeah, well, okay, that might be one of the things that would have been useful to have a conversation about, rather than going through a calling procedure. And I take Councillor Fitzpatrick's point that scrutiny is good. I've always said scrutiny is good, and challenge and effective challenge and good opposition is important. I'm afraid what this process is a little bit cumbersome, and the way that we would have been better doing it is for members that were particularly motivated about brownfield infill strategy and the way that the Section 106 monies are used in the town centre. It would have been better to suggest that as part of one of the work plans for scrutiny. Either scrutiny, listen to scrutiny, both scrutiny most recently, both considered work plans for the next 6 months or whatever they wanted to scrutinise, and no one, including signatories that are on this EDR, nobody suggested that there was a problem with this part, and it would have been useful to be able to look at the strategy, because in terms of the valuation and whether or not we should actually scrutinise the valuation more so than we already have done, I think that's a sliding scale of how involved are we going to be in the development, given that the strategy sets out that we simply need to passport the money. Effectively, we need to passport the money and not get too involved in the development of it, because it's too small scale for ESBC to get involved in. There's a scale, isn't there? Because otherwise you're going to start saying, okay, well, we'll start talking to quantitativers and understanding how much that costs. Have those costs been inflated or haven't they? And so there's a scale about that, but we can scrutinise this through a scrutiny work plan. Wider consultation, again, that could have been picked up through a scrutiny of the brownfield infill strategy. The response that has been sent back basically says that we've done the scrutiny, that the strategies and the policy set out. And so if members have a problem or signatories have a problem with the general tone of the response, it's because that's a given, they're particularly still not happy with the responses and want to have this occasion still. But whether or not they should go to a wider audience, let's have a conversation about that through scrutiny, or just pick it up with me privately. Most members that have put their names to the signatory, or most members of the council, I would like to think, know that I'm quite happy to talk about things in depth and have a look at the way that things might change and how we might improve things without adding your name to a EDR like this, which ultimately is only going to decide whether or not this is in line with the strategy and the corporate plan framework, and not to do with whether or not you like the idea of the building being developed. I think that's as much as I've got to add, Chair, and this is no doubt we're going to have a Q&A.
Thank you very much, Councillor Allen. Councillor Jones.
Thank you, Chair. I really don't need a lecture on Section 106 money or a regeneration policy from Councillor Allen. I probably know quite a lot more about those things than he does. I think I don't have a problem with the development of this site, as he's suggesting. I have no problem with that at all. I have no problem with using Section 106 for developing brownfield sites. I have no problem with the policy that we have in place, that I'm not sure whether it was mine or whether it was actually the deputy leader before me, who's no longer a member, but I have no problem with the policy. What I have a problem with is whether we're getting value for money. And through the way the EDR was presented to us, gave us no way of judging whether we were getting value for money. To be honest, you said you're aware that we all want to get away quickly. I don't want to get away quickly from this meeting. And in fact, if you'd spent a bit more time consulting people, then we might not be here. To suggest that we maybe put something like this to a scrutiny 6 months down the road has totally missed the point, because the money would be spent and we would not be having any input into whether that was value for money. The EDR that we got and we were presented with actually had something about the developer had consulted and commissioned an independent report. That report quoted, when we actually got the report, because we had to ask for the report, it didn't actually come with the EDR. When we got the report, there were figures in there that were suggesting that the affordable housing rental was, I think it was £80 per week. Excuse me, I haven't actually got it in front of me. I don't know what £80 a week was for. What was it for? Is it for a one-bedroom flat? Is it for a two-bedroom flat? Is it for a house? Is it for a furnished place? Got no idea. There's nothing that we were able to have a debate about and discuss whether or not we were getting value for money. And that's the whole of the purpose of the call-in. And to suggest that we discuss that 6 months after you spent it, councillor, I think it's just absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, like I said, if you spent a bit of time consulting people, it's from, you can see from the cross party members here that everybody must have felt that they haven't been consulted properly about this decision. And whether you think you don't have to just consult or not, I don't know. Maybe you consider that you don't have to consult when you're spending the best part of £250,000 of council's money, whether it's taxpayers' money, whether it's developer contribution. We all know how that works. But I think we have to question whether we're getting value for money. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Jones. Councillor Allen, do you want to come back on that?
Yes, please. I still think we're missing the point. The point in the in my input about the whether this should be reviewed in 6 months' time, that's not the point. My point is that if members of the signatories had a problem, who sit on scrutiny, most of them do anyway, if they had a problem with the brownfield infill strategy and the way that we judge whether or not it's good value for money, then it would have been better to call that part in when they had an opportunity only within the last month. I'm not suggesting that we scrutinise this in 6 months' time, because, as you say, the money will have gone. In terms of the consultation, I'm struggling. I think. The only thing I can take from that, because Councillor Grosvenor said the same thing, the only thing I can take from that is that signatories believe that, and I know certainly know some members of the signatories are keen for this, but I believe this is not a committee-led authority. It's a cabinet. Is a leader and cabinet-led authority, and so the leader and the cabinet members and executive members have certain powers that they can carry out. Now, I'm not saying that I don't want scrutiny on this. What I'm saying is that there is policies and procedures and processes in place that allow decisions, certain decisions, to be made expediently and quickly. And so, again, if members of the signatories have problems with whether or not there's enough consultation in sums of money, then it can be added to the work programme to suggest or to work through, or just contact me direct and maybe I can have a conversation about it, because I can see a value in bringing things like this to scrutiny. I can see a problem with it as well, but the suggestion that it is again, there seems to be a problem with the fact that there hasn't been enough consultation on this, yet we're not talking about whether or not, we shouldn't be talking about whether or not there's been enough consultation on this. We should be talking about whether or not the enough consultation in line with the procedures and processes around the spending of Section 106 monies, have we operated inside that? I think we have, and I don't see any evidence suggesting that we haven't. We could always scrutinise things more, yes we can. Has this decision been taken without adequate consultation? No, I don't think. I don't believe that's a problem, because there's procedures and processes that allow executive members to spend this money, and there's a policy that set it out that's been adopted and agreed by most of the signatories, previous cabinet.
Thank you, Councillor Allen. Allen, I'm conscious there's quite a lot of people who want to speak or come back. I'm going to prioritise committee members and those who haven't spoken first. So Councillor Beach.
Thank you, Chair. Very, very briefly, I actually wanted to thank Councillor Allen for his explanation of the reference to taxpayer money and 106 monies and how that all works and comes about. As a newer member of council, I don't know that, and Councillor Grosvenor's reference to taxpayer money was quite misleading on sort of my part. So I think that point did need to be clarified. And I think it was good of Councillor Allen to thank you, clarify that on my behalf at least. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Beach. Councillor Hussain, do you want to speak?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Can I just ask, I'm just questioning Councillor Allen's judgment and from a moral stance. Can you simply say, are you satisfied we are getting the value for money? Yes, we do believe that every single penny belongs to the taxpayer, whether it is 106 or not, it is for the taxpayer money, and undoubtedly and undeniably, we are the custodian of every single dime.
Councillor Allen, do you want to come back on that one?
Yes, I'm happy that this is a good value for money, given that we take the developers contribute £40,000 per dwelling from houses that they don't deliver on site, and that this EDR uses only £20,000 per dwelling, leaving £240,000 to be used somewhere else to bring another brownfield site forward. Of course, I'm sure we all have, a lot of people, I certainly do, in Uttoxeter, have concerns, residents have concerns with brownfield sites not coming forward and greenfield sites coming forward. And one of the benefits of greenfield sites is that they either deliver the 40% of them are affordable and they're delivered on site, or that 40% is commuted.
Thank you, Councillor Allen. Councillor Legg.
Thank you. I would like to ask, where has the 106 money come from? What area specifically, please, I'd like to know.
Councillor Allen? Want to come back
Tom, can Tom Deary answer that?
Yep, Tom can answer that.
Thank you, Chair. The money has come from a development in Stretton, land off Guinevere Avenue.
Thank you, Tom. Councillor Aykroyd.
Back on that.
Oh, sorry, Councillor Legg, did you?
Councillor Legg. Thank you. The 106 money's come from Stretton. I think it's a bit disappointing that it's not going to be spent in Stretton, as Stretton are struggling with healthcare there. We could do a great deal more for the residents of Stretton than we could turning it into one-bedroom apartments we don't really need, because there's 91 up for rent at the moment. Thank you.
Councillor Allen, do you want to come back on that point?
Yeah, no, I don't necessarily disagree. But in terms of whether or not it's outside the procedures and processes that we've got, I would disagree. Because the 106 itself is to be spent within East Staffordshire, so that money could have been spent anywhere. And the brownfield infill strategy sets out how we can intervene and bring forward sites. I would just disagree with Councillor Legg's statement that we don't need affordable houses in town centre, because I think that these dwellings are in fact assisted living, which is probably at the upper end of the kind of we need it anywhere, wherever it is. People need places for assisted living, and so using the money in this way. But I do disagree, I don't disagree that maybe we can talk about that to have a look at the way that we take the money, the way that developers contribute the sums, where they come from, and should it be spent in Stretton. I know Councillor Legg believes that the money should be delivered on site. I accept that, I understand that, but whether or not this decision is outside of that procedure and process, I don't believe it is.
Councillor Aykroyd.
Thank you, Chair. Just to clarify, the reason I signed in the call-in was nothing to do
with consultation or strategy. Yes, the strategy was set some time ago, and it may be time for it to be reviewed, because it's good for all of these sort of policies to be reviewed on a regular basis. But my point was quite clearly, first of all, that calling should never have been sent out without the supporting documents. So that is a failure by the council itself, who, whoever was responsible for sending that out. I don't know, I don't wish to allocate blame. I'm just saying that that should never have happened. That's the first thing. And secondly, my main point was ascertaining the value for money. I'm not going to go through the reasons again, but it was the valuation, the fact we didn't know the developer, etc., that made me very keen to sign this call-in procedure. So absolutely nothing to do with strategy at all.
Councillor Allen, did you want to come back on that point?
Yes, please. I can accept that point as well. I believe, I am told, that all the signatories received the correct appendix as they asked for before putting their name to the call in. So if that's not right, then I'm happy to accept that point. But given that, from what I understand, the signatories asked for the documents and appendix, and they got them before sending the call in. So that would simply, from my point of view, that was only a phone call away.
We didn't get it with the original documentation, which is what should have happened.
Thank you, Councillor Ackroyd. Councillor Walker.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Firstly, I'm somewhat astonished. The deputy leaders are aghast that we're here with this calling. It's part of the legitimate democratic process, and I presume that the reason we're here, that it's been accepted as legitimate. So I'm quite astonished with the words he used. At the moment, I mean, bear in mind, I've been on the road since 5 o'clock this morning. One of the main reasons that I signed this call in is when we talk about contributing to developers' profit. I've not heard nothing to say or somebody explain to me that we're not going to be contributing to developers' profit. All I've heard is people arguing whether 106 money belongs to developers or it's public money. But once it comes to the council, as far as I'm concerned, it's public money, and we should expect value for money and not giving developers the chance to profit from public money.
Councillor Allen, did you want to come back on my point?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I'm going to leave the first point where it is. There's enough politics involved in all this without also injecting yet more. In terms of the developer's profit, I can understand Councillor Walker's position. I understand that is not in line with his own political ideology. Unfortunately, again, it is inside the strategy, it's inside the framework, and that has been adopted by the previous cabinet as something that we should do. And this call-in is about whether or not it's outside that strategy and that framework and that policy. If it's not, then I'm sure the scrutiny committee will find that. But as to whether this is outside. I think if I may make one point about whether or not this is contributing to developer profit, I guess in some way you could suggest it is. But since the strategy itself, as we've already said, sets out that the council accepts that the council and ESBC won't get involved in the delivery, and that we are to simply passport the money to expedite, bring forward sites and make them more affordable. I think the assumption there will say assumption. I think it's right to assume that then the only other party that would bring it forward is the private sector, and the private sector aren't going to operate without a profit. But I'm not going to disagree with Councillor Walker on that, because I understand what side of the argument is coming from. But in terms of whether this is outside the strategy and policy, I don't believe it is.
Councillor Walker, do you want to come back on that?
Yeah, just very quickly. I mean, I think the Deputy Leader said he didn't want to comment on the first point because he didn't want to involve politics. I'm somewhat surprised that he knows what my political ideology is, because sometimes I'm not aware what my own is. And yet tonight I find myself agreeing with councillors who I never thought I would agree with ever. And yet I am. So I don't think political ideology has got anything to do with it.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Councillor Wildman.
Thank you, Chair. I thank Councillor Allen for bringing his thoughts on making the decision. I also accept the members of the group that have called it in. I also accept what they say as well. I'm not very happy with Councillor Grosvenor's comment right at the very beginning to suggest that because of numbers, I think he said, I'm pretty sure he said, because of numbers, the decision might go through. To suggest that it's a pre-organised, I think everyone in this committee would disagree with Councillor Grosvenor on that. The decision, I think, is, well, I'll make my decision as when the vote comes through. I do respect Councillor Mick Fitzpatrick's points, and also Councillor Walker's very much so. But Councillor Allen, I think, has looked into this, and, you know, we need to trust the Cabinet members and the Leader, of course. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Councillor Wildman. Councillor Legg.
Can I just ask, please, Chair, through you, would this have any effect on the Bargates development, please, being that they want affordable housing on there, please?
Councillor Allen, do you want to come back on that point?
I don't believe it would, and I'm not sure how it would. I remind members that this decision of whether or not, this EDR decision is in advance of any planning permissions and is subject to planning approval. And through the planning process, I would expect the decision as to whether or not this type of housing is developed is acceptable in this area. Of course, every development that comes forward, you have to prove and justify that type of dwelling in any location or the site area is acceptable for that site. But look, I will leave that to the planners and for when that application comes forward.
Thank you, Councillor Allen. I appreciate it's been a long time waiting, but Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Chair. I did have to check if my hand was still up because I wasn't sure. Members will know that, I mean, I don't agree with having scrutiny just for scrutiny's sake. But I do believe the call-out policy is there for a very good reason, and that process is now taking place. So Councillor Allen to virtually dismiss that, saying we shouldn't have any call-ins, it's wrong, talk to me instead, defeats the whole purpose of having it. Consultation, I don't think there would have needed to be lots and lots of consultation. EDRs are the decision of the deputy leaders. So I accept that. But this is a key decision. And had all the information gone out with the EDR, some of those 12 members may not have signed it. Now, some would, and we had to actually ask for the information. It didn't come automatically. We had to ask. And I was looking for the appendices purposely, and they weren't there. And I even looked on the website where the EDRs were, and they weren't there. But I did get them on request. Now, I still would have requested a call-in, even with that information, because Before I say that, Councillor, the Deputy Leader is suggesting that we're all against the brownfield policy. We're not. We're all in support of that. It's what we've got. I think it's a good policy. It's a good way of spending 106 monies for delivering affordable, sheltered, assisted, all kinds of housing. So we are in favour of the policy. Nobody wants to call in the policy, but what we have called in is the decision, because we want you to reconsider. We want you to give it some more consideration. Now, the funding gap of the 240,000, this has been created by the developer. These are his calculations, not ours, and I challenge them because I don't think they're right. I look at his development costs for a one-bedroom flat at £66,000 a unit. When he adds all the other costs in, I think he's overstating them, which is creating the funding gap, which I think is artificial. And that's what I think we should look at. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Fitzpatrick. Andy O'Brien.
Thank you, Chairman. I think it's probably worthwhile me picking up the couple of questions we've had so far about why the appendices did not go out with the documentation to enable the call-in. Now, I can look into this from tomorrow, councillors, and make sure that we don't have a situation like that again. But having said that, members who requested the document did get the chance to see it, and obviously that would have informed their reasons for calling. So I just really wanted to provide a point of information, Chairman, just to sort of deal with that point.
Thank you, Andy. All right, right. I'll bring in Councillor Grosvenor, but could I ask that you do keep your point brief, just based on the time and everything else that's been said so far tonight. Councillor Grosvenor.
Yeah, I'm going to refer to a lot of points that have been made in the debate by councillors and analysts. I'd like to thank the Chief Executive there for his intervention with regards to updating future EDRs. And if nothing else comes from this call-in tonight, I guess what will come from it, as Councillor Acker already suggested as well, is that fuller information will be provided in EDRs in future, which may or may not necessitate, I think, what Councillor Allen referred to as, or perhaps not Councillor Allen, but others have referred to as a waste of time in regards to calling. It's not a waste of time. I'll note Councillor Fitzpatrick's comments, and I thank him for his grateful contribution with regards to the valuation. And the point he really makes with regards to the valuation of the rental costs, etc., tie into what the first item the call-in is, which is effectively, we're basing it on a developer's valuation of this particular deal, and he's right on that. There needs to be an independent valuation carried out by the councillors to substantiate the comments made by the developers and his valuer in that report. We don't know what terms of reference the developer's valuer was provided with regards to producing that report, and we don't know what they were told to come back with. And it is very much around the profit that's being made. I don't share Councillor Walker's political philosophy on a number of things, as he's probably agreed to tonight. So for Councillor Allen to suggest this is better political ideology, I think really dismisses the point without even addressing it, to be honest. It's not about a political ideology. It is about very much securing value for money. Councillor Beach's contribution that what I suggested is taxpayers' money is misleading, I'm afraid he's wrong, and you're a new councillor, so you need to perhaps be fully aware of the fact that as councillors, we are here to secure value for money for taxpayers' money. Taxpayers' money is that which the council has responsibility for. Council has responsibility for distributing this 106 contribution in such a way as to secure value for money for residents and taxpayers. That's why this 106 is taxpayers' money. It's irrelevant where it's come from. It has come from developers, I agree, but that's irrelevant. It now suits with a local authority, and it's our responsibility as taxpayers to secure value for money for that 106 contribution. So I'm afraid, Councillor Beach, you perhaps need to understand that a bit more. Councillor Wileman suggested that I've said that the vote was predetermined. Yeah. Councillor Wileman, again, perhaps if my comments have been minuted correctly or there's been a full recording, you'll understand what I said, which was, without predetermining the vote, I understand that it's highly unlikely that this decision is going to be overturned. That's not saying anything about the numbers at all. It's just saying that in regards to this particular decision, that without predetermining the vote, I understand it's probably unlikely that the calling will be successful. Now, if I may deal with Councillor Allen's comments with regards to calling itself, I'd like to thank him for his very helpful lesson on 106 and how 106 is achieved by the council and how that commuted sums is received and why commuted sums are received and then how 106 is distributed. The frame misses the point completely. And I think a lot of the comments that Councillor Allen made misses the point completely. Calling is not about a specific policy or strategy. In the Constitution, there are a number of reasons as to why a decision in EDR can be called in. And I'd recommend Councillor Allen to review those. It's not specifically on the strategy. That's one of them. It's not specifically on whether it's in the policy framework. That's one of them. There are a number of reasons as to why calling can be made. And as Councillor Fitzpatrick has said, this calling document was signed by 12 members. Councillor Allen made a point that there's some disagreement between members on the reasons. Unfortunately, when you submit a calling document, you have to capture all the reasons that every member wants to call that decision in for. They may not agree with all of them. They will certainly agree with most of them. And that's why some members say, I agree with this, but don't agree with that. And calling is based on the reasons in the Constitution, Councillor Allen, not just whether it's in a strategy or policy framework. And I note your constant referrals to the previous cabinet. Largely, that is irrelevant because the previous cabinet did not agree this specific deal. The current cabinet under your portfolio agreed this specific deal. And the calling relates to this specific deal, not to the strategy, not to the policy, that's part of it, but it relates to this specific deal. There is a large number of questions which have not been answered with regards to the valuation. And as I said in my opening statement, it would be recommended if the deputy leader was required to take this back for a further valuation that a number of members have suggested they've got problems with to whether to justify a contribution of £240,000. Councillor Allen, very cleverly, I accept, suggested that he didn't think £20,000 per unit was not value for money. It's not £20,000 per unit. It is the council funding 98% of a funding gap that the developer suggests he's got based on his own valuation when he's still making a profit on the overall deal. And members are losing sight of that. As councillors, I keep referring to this, we need to secure value for money for the contribution we're giving to that developer for that development. 98% of a funding gap when a developer is making profit anyway, based on his own figures, I would suggest, is far too much for the council to contribute. Councillor Allen said the members were signing this call-in because they weren't happy with this particular building being developed. We didn't like it or not. It's regardless of this particular building, it's regardless of this site, it's this deal which is attributed to this development. That was what the EDR was about, whether or not the council contributes £240,000 for this development. And the members who've signed that have all said they've got an issue with the value for money aspect of this deal. And I would suggest, really, if you are listening, take it away, go and get your own valuation on this, and then come back to us and say, look, there you go. If you've got nothing to worry, Councillor Allen, if Cabinet and you have got nothing to fear about that valuation, then why not just get it done in the first place and prove to us that the decision was signed correctly in accordance with value for money, which is what we're here to secure, and that we are contributing to the developer, bringing about much needed affordable housing at a site, and not just giving him an extra 2% profit based on his own valuation.
Thank you, Councillor Grosvenor. Andy O'Brien.
Thank you, Chairman. And just a few more points of information, I think, which is what officers are here to do, really, in this sort of situation. Firstly, I think Councillor Fitzpatrick pointed out this is rental assessment. It's not a valuation the way that we might originally envisage. I think Councillor Grosvenor is trying to come back in again, Chair, but he seems to be on mute. But maybe if I just finish my point before he comes back in. It's a rental assessment, not a valuation. Councillor Fitzpatrick was quite right to point that out. Secondly, this is not the developer's valuation. This is the developer going out and choosing an established local company to do the rental assessment. The developer has not paid for the output or the outcome to be in a particular way. So I just wanted to make that clear for members. And then thirdly, I think somewhere in the report it does mention the cost per development per square foot, and I think that's £90, does actually make the point that that's quite typical for the area. So I think that's quite a reasonable thing to take on board if you're considering this calling. So I'll hand back to you, Chairman.
Thank you, Chief Executive. Councillor Allen.
Thanks, Chair. It's not beat about the bush. The relationship between Councillor Grove and myself has never been particularly useful, but I find it very difficult to not be going back over the same ground that we've already covered. We've gone from suggesting that this is a public building and that it's very important to the town centre to saying actually we're not really bothered about whether or not the building is important or not. I categorically did not say that this is a whole waste of time, and I said on a number of occasions that this is that the scrutiny is good and that we should do this, and maybe going forward if members would like that we could have these decisions taken with scrutiny involved at the first stages, yet that is not part of the policy and process that we have now. This decision is taken within the corporate plan framework and within the policy and processes and procedures, and it's as simple as that. We've now come to a point where the valuation, whether or not the valuation has been checked and whether it's accurate, and I think Chief Executive there, I hope, clarified enough for members to be confident that this is this decision has been taken within the processes and procedures that we have. If it was such a concern to Councillor Grosvenor and a number of previous cabinet members who have added their name to the signatory, then you might imagine, let's say, that the valuation at any point when the developer comes forward before 106 money is used in this way, you might imagine that that is set out clearly in the policy, the Brownfield Infill Regeneration Strategy policy. We can look again at that policy and suggest we can always improve it and make it better. But I find it hard to understand why it was okay in 2017, but it's not okay now.
Thank you, Councillor Allen. I just want to take this point to remind councillors that the issue at hand and the issue we're debating is the EDR and whether the EDR is a valid EDR within the current policy framework. It's not some playground tit for tat around personal reputations or political ideologies. At that point, I won't have this committee descending into just tip-tap between members. So with that, I'm gonna call Councillor Toon, who hasn't contributed yet.
Yes, thank you for saying that, because it was getting a bit out of hand and I did not like it. Political matters shouldn't come into it, neither should personal. We're on about an EDR that wasn't explained properly and given the right information. But I'd like to ask Andy O'Brien a question. If the developer didn't pay for the evaluation, who did?
Chief Executive, do you want to come back on that point?
Sorry, Chairman, just unmuting myself. Just because they paid for the valuation doesn't mean that they get to determine what the bottom line is.
Councillor Legg, you did have your hand up, but it's gone back down now.
No, question's been asked, thank you.
No worries, thank you. Does anybody else on the committee or who hasn't yet spoken tonight wish to add anything or raise any questions around the EDR? Nope, at which point I don't believe that we're going to get any constructive debate going forward. Councillor Aykroyd? I think you're on mute, Councillor Aykroyd. Do you think you're muted, Councillor Aykroyd?
Did you hear me?
We can hear you now, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Councillor Jones has had her hand up for a long time. You haven't called to speak. I just wondered why not.
I don't believe that Councillor Jones is going to add anything that hasn't already been retread. I'm going to just call in Sal Khan.
Thank you, Chair. Through you, Chair, if I may, early on in the meeting, it was suggested that my name is mentioned at least two occasions, suggesting that I had contributed to the response. that Council Ireland put together, and for the record, can I just confirm that I have not, please? Thank you.
That's noted. Thank you, Stel. So do any other committee members or anybody else? Councillor Walker.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think for the sake of democracy, until we know what Councillor Jones has got to say, I don't think we can just assume that it's just going to be rehashing the debate. I think we should find out what she's got to say so we can make an informed judgment.
The only thing I'd add to that is that Councillor Jones isn't a member of the scrutiny committee, and that if she doesn't want to talk or take part in it, it is down to the discretion of the chair or a vote of the committee. It's been going back and forth between several of the members. I don't believe it's going to result in any further constructive criticism of the calling. Councillor Hussain.
Chairman, you just mentioned committee member or anybody else. Even Councillor Jones is not in committee member. She should have the right. For the sake of our local democracy, please allow her to speak.
Okay, I will allow Councillor Jones to speak then with respect to the committee members, Walker and Hussain. Councillor Jones.
My, I should be internally grateful to you, Councillor Clark. I find that absolutely appalling the way you've just conducted this part of the meeting. I, like every person, is elected to represent people in this borough, and I should be entitled to speak. You might think I've got nothing worth saying, but I might think that about many, many other people, and I don't think you should take away that right for me to say something. What I actually wanted to say was in response to something that Councillor Allen said to me ages ago, and that's why I put my hand up and you didn't ask me to come back. I have no problem with the policy that we have for affordable housing on brownfield sites. And so I have no problem whatsoever with the Section 106 money being used for affordable housing in this way. I have no problem with either of those, and it was suggested that I did. I have no problem with this site particularly, and it's been suggested that we did. I think we have lost sight of the reason for the call-in, which was because nobody thought, or many of the people who signed up didn't think we were getting value for money. And I think all the rest of the discussion about the policies and about Section 106 and all the rest of it are really been irrelevant, and you perhaps should have taken that on board. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Jones. I would like to point out that we do currently have two vacancies on the committee, so she's more than welcome to come and join us if she does want to feed back into it. Are there any other council members on the committee who wish to raise any points in relation to the EDR? No? At which point then I believe we should move on to the consideration of the report and move for the motion. So the three options available to us to members of the committee to vote on are option one, that we do nothing and the decision is allowed to stand. Option two is that we refer the decision back to the decision taker with a request to reconsider, including the reasons in writing for doing so. And then the final option is that we refer the matter directly to full council for debate. Typically this option is only used in exceptional circumstances, such as when the decision is contrary to the policy framework or council's budget, at which point I will hand over to Andrea to lead the vote with members.
Chairman, are you going to seek a proposer for a motion?
So I'll propose the motion. Do we have a seconder?
To clarify the motion, Chair, and then you need a seconder.
Okay, so I'm seeking a clarification of the motion.
Sorry, Chair, if you're just specific on your motion that you're proposing.
Oh, right, okay, yeah, okay.
Sorry.
So the first motion I'll propose then is to do nothing and allow the decision to stand. Do we have a seconder for that? Councillor Metcalf.
Okay, Councillor, I will go through. Councillor Clark.
Four.
Councillor Ackroyd?
Against.
Councillor Beach?
Four.
Councillor Brady?
4.
Councillor Gould?
4.
Councillor Hussain? Councillor Hussain?
Against.
Councillor Hudson?
4.
Councillor Killoran?
4.
Councillor Legge?
Against.
Councillor Metcalfe?
4.
Councillor Shrive?
Against.
Councillor Walker?
Against.
And Councillor Wildman?
4.
Thank you, Chairman. You've got 8 votes for and 5 against, so that motion is carried.
Thank you very much, Andrea. At which point then, I believe the scrutiny committee has decided that on the recommendation of the report, to do nothing and to allow the decision of the EDR to stand as is. At which point we'll move on to close the meeting, as that is the final point on the agenda. I'd just like to thank everybody for coming here and taking part, particularly to the officers and then the members of the call-in who so diligently debated it. Thanks for your time and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.